What is the current relationship status of MGK and Megan Fox? Are they together or did that
end? I thought they broke up.
They did. They welcomed a baby in March. And it seems like they just had a recent outing, them with their baby. And it seems like they may be on the road to getting back together.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yes.
Also, if the woke people keep coming after Sydney Sweeney, they're going to have to go through me. Like,
why are they coming after Sydney Sweeney now?
Because of the ads that she's doing for the Gene Company, which I think are fantastic. And they're upset that she talks about good genes and getting good genes from your parents. And they're losing their mind over it. It's a commercial for blue jeans.
Mm-hmm. Like,
please leave the amazing Sydney Sweeney alone or you're going to have to deal with me.
Amen.
Right. Greg was on the bottom floor of her selling that soap, too.
Floor. I didn't purchase any, but if it were available, certainly I'd be interested.
Yeah, more of a top floor.
This is Sean from Montana. Hello, Sean.
Hello and good morning. I like what you're saying about Sydney Sweeney. She's a great actress. I've seen a lot of her. Excellent. Well, yeah, she's a very popular actress.
Yes,
but
yes.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
What's your favorite movie she's in, Sean?
Well, I like the one with Glenn Powell.
Anybody
good.
But you.
Oh, I forget. Yeah, that's right. That's the one. And then, of course, she's also, I think she's going to be the new Bond girl coming up. Another James Bond, James Bond legacy continues, even though I'm a big Sean Connery fan. And Thunderball is one of my favorites. But anyway, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Anyway, I'm still heartbroken about that Red Sox game. That game was so ours to win. And it's not just the fact that you blame it on Mother Nature, although I'm telling you, that was really sad. That was a strange ninth inning. Red Sox score, they lose the game. But the thing with the Red Sox, they need to do is they have got to stop leaving men stranded. I could not believe it. I mean, there were many chances that they could have had to blow that game open against the Minnesota Twins team that's not very good. And then Hicks, I'm telling you, I consider him to be a bust in that trade for Rafael Devers. He's 1-7. He has an ERA of over 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't find the plate to save his life. It's
a frustrating thing because they keep dragging you back in and then you have to consider being out again. You win that Dodgers series and then I don't know, I'm sure you guys talked about it yesterday, but those that are diminishing that win in the Dodgers series because the Dodgers are, a little cold lately drives me nuts.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
not.
I mean, it's like that was a must-win series, mm-hmm. and you went and you won it. And
right.
so, but they're just – Curtis brought up earlier – I can't remember if it was on the air or when we were talking before the show this morning.
We talk a lot of ball.
We do. We talk ball. Usually the first thing we talk about, Curtis.
Yep.
But they've lost more one-run games this season than ever before in Red Sox history.
I mean, I don't know about the whole history, but last year they had 13 in 162 games. This year they have 21 in 108. Eight more one-run losses already. And, I understand what you're saying, Greg. It's not you beat a team in the Dodgers that are incredibly talented, 2 out of 3. But you're now 4-6 after the break. And you were 10-0 before it.
Yeah.
And, now you got to win the next two in Minnesota to not give up the momentum you got from L.A. But to me, the big story wasn't on the field. It's Lou Maloney and others that are connected trying to minimize expectations, saying you weren't going to reallocate the resources you gained from trading Devers in season. I think the reaction to that trade would have been far different if the fans knew that, because that wasn't made clear. I mean, I love Lou. You know that. I think he's the best baseball guy in Boston. I didn't see him tweeting in the immediate aftermath of the Devers trade that it would be foolish to expect the team to reinvest the money on this year's team. Did you?
No.
So if that was the case, where was that reporting, a month ago?
My whole expectation with the Devers thing is, and I kind of agree with Curtis, is like my expectations, you might not reallocate every single penny, but there should be a big portion of that money that should be reallocated into this team this year, come trade deadline. Like, that's kind of the expectations I have. That's kind of what they've been telling us, especially if they're in a position where they feel like, oh, we do have a legitimate chance. We are a good baseball team. Sam Kennedy told us, come trade deadline, if we're in the mix, then, you know, we're going to make big moves. Craig Breslow's told us the same thing. The trade deadline is what, Thursday?
Yes.
You are not only in the mix, you are in a position right now, if you add a piece, you potentially could win the division.
But what you've wanted, and you're right about wanting it, is you want them to add a legit number two starter. And what Lou is saying is that there's not, you may not be able to pry that guy loose somewhere.
Well, that's different, though. We talked about that. If there's a legit number two, that whether it's Joe Ryan or...
They're not getting rid of Joe Ryan.
Okay, like, so...
That was Lou's point.
What if they traded for Nolan Ryan?
All right, so Joe Ryan is what most people consider a legit number two. Is Nathan Eovaldi considered a legit number two, or is he just another depth piece? Because if there's no legit number two, then how do you fault the Red Sox for trying to get somebody, but no one's willing to give those guys
up? If you had Eovaldi, you would be, I believe, a favorite to win the division.
Okay, so then you would consider him a legit number two.
Oh, of course.
So then he should be a guy that if the Rangers are willing to move, or if he moves, you should be in on him. And
Weren't there reports last season that they were trying to get Eovaldi back too? Like, this has been something that's been talked about in the past. So, I mean, if I remember correctly, I believe that Eovaldi had interest in coming back to Boston. So in my mind, that's a no-brainer. If they're willing to give him up, that should be somebody that the Red Sox should bring back, not only for talent, but also, like, and I hate that we have to do this because we are Boston and we should be better than it, but for nostalgia. Like, people love Nathan Eovaldi
here. But unless they are looking at this team and watching it yo-yo, and they're not really willing to invest.
But are they yo-yoing because the pitching isn't great every single night, or are they yo-yoing because the bats aren't going? Like, I think the pitching is the issue a lot of the time, and that's the reason for the yo-yo. So if you can get a legit number two in Nathan Eovaldi, then the yo-yo could balance out.
It's tough to pitch after a rough flight, though.
I mean, are we really giving them that excuse?
Have you ever been on a flight that dealt with a lot of turbulence?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ruined for days.
24 hours later, you can't play a baseball game.
It'll rock
you. Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess it must have been real bumpy from where they were flying.
They're scared for their lives, yeah. I believe.
But
it's unbelievable.
But I think that you
what a tough place to play this is.
Here's a text that says, and when the Red Sox do nothing, then you guys will not give them hell for sitting still. You'll kiss their ass as usual. I don't think so. I think we've been...
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Sam will find a job to give me so he can fire me.
I think we have been suggesting.
There's repeatedly. No way that...
And Curtis, you and Ken were talking about it Saturday. Aaron Judge out for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, you have an opportunity... I get it. Maybe you're not going to catch Toronto, but you got an opportunity to move your way up in that division.
But there's no way from, like, we're watching it. They're watching it. They know a lot more about baseball than we do. There's no way they can sit there and go, we don't need a number two starting pitcher. If we're all seeing that, like, if we can sit here and go, we don't have confidence in Walker Buehler. We don't have confidence in Dick Fitz. Maybe we have a little bit more confidence in Bayo and Giolito, but even then, it's still not a ton.
Falls on Dick Fitz.
There's no way.
I just don't. All these Texers are saying there's no way you can't get Eovaldi because Texas is in it. So you have to go to a team that's not in it.
I have a question.
And you're not parting with Jaron Duran. Like,
Red Sox in it when they traded Devers?
No, they weren't.
The season wasn't over.
They weren't.
But I don't think they were a game out of the wild card. Like, so, and they traded Devers. You can always make deals if you make it appetizing for the other team. The Red Sox have one of the best systems in baseball. Of course, they should offer something for the Rangers for Eovaldi.
No, the Rangers are legit a half game out of a wild card spot.
Everybody's a half game out of a wild card.
No. There's four teams. They're the Yankees, the Mariners, the Red Sox, and Texas.
How many teams in the American League are out of the playoffs entirely?
Out of the playoffs entirely.
The White Sox, right. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's one
Chicago
team,
and maybe the Athletics.
So then it's not a story if they're a half game out of the wild card. Everybody's close to the wild card.
Right, but I think there's a difference between, let's say, the Cleveland Guardians, who are four games outside of the third wild card spot, versus the Texas Rangers, who are basically a game and a half from the number one wild card spot. And so maybe they might view it as, you know, we are a legit.
They're three games ahead of the Guardians in the loss column. That's one weekend.
No, I'm not saying it is, Curtis. So nobody's disputing you that. So the Rangers might not be willing to give up a guy like Eovaldi because they're like, well, shoot, we can easily, you know, be the number one team in the wild card.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, only days left. We are going to talk. I think we're going to talk to Breslow on Friday morning, correct?
That would be great.
Yeah. So we will get to talk to him about what they do or do not do. But over there, I think Sam Kennedy said last week, right down the hall, Brez was cooking. He was on the phone and he was cooking, Curtis. So
A potential blast from the past Friday with Heidi Watney coming on.
Excellent.
They have the Apple TV game with the Red Sox Friday night, so they were pitching that, so working on that for the show.
Excellent. All right. Somebody's going to have to help me figure out how to get the Apple up on the television.
We will. That's part of Lindsay's job description, I thought.
I mean, the thing where every two or three days you have to put your phone up and get the QR code.
You should not have to do that.
What is that for?
They do it all
28 times.
They're trying to, 28 times, they're trying to bump you out of the, bump you out of the apps, and it's really
annoying. What is this
he's saying that he's getting bumped out of his apps and he has to re-log in.
28 times.
You should not need to do that.
It happens all the time. It's really annoying.
I ask one thing of Lindsay. Please stand in the background and film Greg trying to get Apple TV.
And then I never know what the password is.
And he's lifting his glasses up on top of his head.
I can't find the password, and it's very frustrating. And also, how do you feel about ESPN buying the Red Zone?
It's the Red Zone,
the NFL Red Zone,
and the NFL Network.
And they're investing
right?
in the NFL Network, and they're gonna basically. Mm-hmm. Are they gonna ruin that?
Yeah, it's just going to be Pat McAfee everywhere. Nobody has shirts on.
They could, because did you hear Charles Barkley? I don't know if you heard the audio of Charles Barkley, but he was talking about the pilot that they did for the ESPN for the Inside the NBA going there, and he was like, it was absolute-ish. He said it was horrible. He know what the hell they were doing. Yeah. Like, he was on...
Like, nothing needs... It's perfect as it is.
Right.
You don't need to change anything, but they will.
Yeah, they will. He was like, they had Kenny Smith doing fashion, and he was like... And it was one of the...
Part of my take.
Yeah, it was one of those, and he was like, this was absolute-ish. He said the word... It was horrible. So ESPN could screw that up. Because you know who could be doing the games? Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
He could be doing all the games. Now let's go into Baltimore right now.
just leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would the NFL want to sell that?
Because it's an asset and they can get money.
Yeah.
I just feel like the NFL likes having their hands on their own network to be able to give that up, I think is...
I think they'll still have their hands firmly on ESPN.
That ain't going to cut the mustard.
But is it just us, Greg? Like, I don't get Pat McAfee. I don't get it.
Oh, I think he's good.
You do?
Yeah, it's for my demo, though. Like, he appeals to me.
He vibes to those college kids and, you know.
Damn.
And the younger people, it's the vibe that he has. You know, the big shiny belt buckle with the cowboy boots and backflips. And, you know, that we're down here in Texas, boys.
Ken and Curtis?
Oh, I like him, actually.
The Ken and Curtis Show.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox dropped the first against the Twins. 5-4 was the final in Minnesota, despite a 3-run fifth inning that showed some life, and then a 4-3 lead in the top of the ninth that was halted by a 90-minute rain delay. Richard Fitz went 4 innings, giving up 2 runs on 4 hits while striking out 2. They've got another one in Minnesota tonight, 7:40 first pitch, with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Patriots went full contact for the first time yesterday, and Christian Gonzalez exited practice with a left leg injury. No update on his status yet. Jalen Polk is back, looking pretty good. There's another fully padded practice today set for 10:15.
So what are they saying? Like, all the eyes down there, they can tell me about every piece of footwork that Drake May has, but they can't tell me what Christian Gonzalez...
So he limped off on his own...
But did he grab a hammy?
They don't know. But they're saying, I saw a few tweets that said it looked like it could be a pulled hammy.
All right. I mean, I think it's something like if you're a reporter down there, it looked like he grabbed a hammy or grabbed a knee or it's his ankle.
He was asking if there was somebody who could tickle his foot.
I got to bring in Christian Wilkins for that one.
Greg, I have a question that has nothing to do with this.
Yes.
Best pre-entree dish. Is it the pizza with the steak and mashed potatoes at the straw?
Oh.
Does that go ahead of the seafood tower?
Well, some get it for their entree, but
that's an entree.
But no. We just did the mussels and that as our food.
Yeah.
Like, so, and then a heirloom tomato salad. But I think the mussels
with some
the mussels might be better. The mussels are out of the shell, which less work.
Yeah.
They're just floating in the creamy tomato broth with the toast points. So, yes.
Well, we did hear from Deion Sanders yesterday alongside his medical team. He announced that he was diagnosed with bladder cancer earlier this year. He had his bladder removed to become cancer-free. So he's on the road to recovery. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and much more. You can see the full savings claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. That's what's trending. We have your Hill Notes coming up next.
7:40 first pitch tonight in Minnesota, trade deadline week. Red Sox back here on Friday, and hopefully the Aramark situation will be resolved by then, Curtis.
Yeah, Senator from Connecticut calling out the Red Sox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very exciting news. Said that he's a diehard Sox fan, Senator Murphy. But the fact that your owner, John Henry, doubled his net worth in just 5 years to almost $6 billion, and you pay many of your workers $10 an hour or less than comparable earners in the area, .. it stinks.
Well, I know I heard you guys talking a little bit on Saturday about this, and it was seems like it was a disaster for those who were at Fenway Park, for the few Red Sox fans who were there for the Dodgers series. When it came to trying to get beers and trying to get food, so
it seemed like it depended on who you asked. Curtis said, Ken said, fine, and then Jakesy said,
I was listening to Ken, and Jakesy, I actually called Curtis about this because Jakesy was there, was telling me it was a nightmare, and then I was listening to Ken on the show. He's like, it took me an extra 20 minutes. I missed a Shohei Ohtani at bat, but that was it.
Right?
They got to resolve it.
But it's not the Red Sox issue, right? Because what Sam Kennedy was saying. It was
It's Aramark.
Can't they just have some scabs? I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, they do. They do have them. They brought people in to do it, and those people are unfortunately having confrontations with the people who are on the picket line. That happens Saturday night outside there. So,
my question is: if the Red Sox do indeed have nothing to do with it, and I will take Sam at his word, why does the Globe only have two stories, both very small, lacking opinion on the topic? This is something ordinarily the Boston Globe would be championing the striking union.
Yeah.
So why haven't they engaged on it whatsoever? And I hate when powerful people act powerless. This is what Robert Kraft tried to do with Bill Belichick year after year. And that's what the Red Sox are doing. The people that work inside Fenway Park, I said this Saturday, Greg, almost all of the people that were there in 2000 when I was working there are still there today. The nicest, hardest working, dedicated employees that have you say who builds this city with Ketch's Law?
Yeah.
The people inside, the men and women that work for Aramark are those that built this city, that make Fenway Park what it is, and to not be paying what they get at freaking Harry Aganis Arena at Fenway Park is obscene. Like, have you seen what they charge? $40 for a lobster roll.
Yeah.
And you're paying the guy $10 an hour?
the Red Sox could and should be, I hope, applying pressure
on Aramark
to their vendor and saying, you're now creating an issue for us when it comes to our patrons and our fans, and you need to solve it. You
know? Right. That's what I would
But then the answer will be, okay, fine, we're going to charge more when it comes to what we're already charging ridiculously high prices for. It is probably going to be the answer from Aramark,
but
I guess.
In the Red Sox and Aramark, this ownership group was not – they did not choose Aramark. When John Harrington sold the Red Sox to John Henry – right before the deal, he extended the Aramark concessions deal 30 years. So this isn't even the group that that I would believe that Sam and John would even want in the first place. So why not side with the employees? And if Aramark's really pissed, bring in your own concession company. Like, they could legitimately impact this, and they are choosing not to by hiding behind the fact that it's not their employee. When Aramark works inside Fenway Park and shares revenue directly with John Henry and the Red Sox ownership.
Jackson, start selling glizzies outside the stadium for like $2. Make you a killing.
Well, Curtis was rightly calling for a food boycott on the show on Saturday.
I said, go to get, there's a Loco, there's, you know, a milk cask and flag in great spot. Grab yourself a hot dog. The peanuts outside of Fenway are even better than in the park.
I ain't going to no game and ain't got no glizzies, ain't got no drinks.
Have to wait 20 extra minutes to get a bottle of water.
No. I just wouldn't do it.
I mean, you missed that Shohei Ohtani at bat.
I saw it on television.
That's the whole reason Ken went there.
Right.
No. I mean, yeah, it'd be nice to see in person, but if I'm doing it, can I at least get a glizzy with that?
I'm sure Mike, Rich, and Jones enjoyed the long lines because they didn't have Ken bothering them for an entire inning.
So they even do the
sweets.
Somebody,
while Ken was waiting in line for the wine cooler, did somebody else score the at-bat in his book for him while he was gone, Curtis?
The 10-year-old seated next to them while Ken was getting a Zinfandel on the rocks.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume they would try to settle it before the team gets back here.
Right. And do they do the suites, too? So, like, even if you went to the game
do,
on...
Yeah, they do everything.
Man, that must have sucked.
Yeah, I think they do.
That must have really...
All right, Hill Notes today brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, then call Coleman.
It's electric!
Years ago, I went to a Massachusetts beach, and I had a woman sitting in front of me. Her two kids are playing in the sand in front of her, and I thought that she started to have a seizure. And I said to my husband, oh my God, we need to get her help. I waited for a minute, only to realize she was masturbating on the beach in front of me. There's your beach story.
Wow.
What?
That's next level
with
right
there.
With
her kids, too?
That is next level. Top that one.
Was she a Philadelphia Phillies fan? Do you happen to see that viral video over the weekend?
I mean, baseball turns me on, Greg.
At Yankee Stadium?
Well, you know. That was disturbing in its publicness.
Yes.
I mean, it's the ladies. They're horned up.
I don't get it.
They're horned up.
Like, I mean, give it a rest.
What is going on? There's kids around.
I mean, have you saw Aaron Judge?
I mean,
I got some guns on him.
I know. I just don't. I mean, she made it obvious. Also, I mean,
some people don't care, Greg.
I guess
it's a public place. I can do what I want.
I guess so. Yeah. Okay.
Happy Gilmore 2 was good. Sat in front of my 11-year-old kid. He laughed his ass off. The movie was funny. Yeah, the golf part was dumb, but there was dumb stuff in the first movie, too, with the mini golf and the clown and the stupid driving race. There's all sorts of dumb stuff in that first movie, and we loved it. Curtis could find a way to hate Christmas, so I'm not going to take his opinion. The movie was decent. Everyone enjoyed it. Just say it was good.
Yeah, I mean, I
would like to keep the Christ in Christmas.
It's not like I turned it off.
It wasn't a good movie. It's okay. Like, if you wanted to say that you enjoyed it and your younger son enjoyed it, that's great. I said it was the start of the movie was very difficult for me to get past, given the 30 years you had to come up with something clever.
I laughed at it because I thought it was so stupid.
Yeah,
it was funny.
Some of the cameos were good. Eminem was pretty
great.
Good.
Yeah,
Eminem was great.
I didn't like the evil guy who started the alternate golf league. I didn't like that.
He was a loser.
I didn't think that character was as developed as it could have been. I mean, I don't know. It just didn't. It wasn't great. It's
an Adam Sandler movie. Like, it's what you expect. Did you laugh?
Happy Gilmore was a great movie.
But that was so... Greg, when you look at Adam Sandler's movies, let's think about the movies that we like from Adam Sandler.
Mr. Deeds.
They're all from 20 years ago, right? And so now the movies that he's making, he can't flip the genre because that's not what he is. Like, other than... Uncut Gems, we don't really see Adam Sandler as a serious actor.
Then don't do it.
But he, this
like,
is,
don't, all
but these
you,
are the movies he has to, he's in, he has a deal with Netflix, so he has to make movies. So when you look at Mr. Deeds, you look at Billy Madison, you look at Happy Gilmore.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, Waterboy.
Spanglish.
Early on, that's what's, but now, so he has to continue that. So he does, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Hubie Halloween.
He does the one with, where he's playing the twin, you know.
Ooh, Jack and Jill.
Yeah, Jack and Jill. Like, this is, does the one with Jennifer Aniston.
Greg, what's your favorite Grown-Ups?
The first one was okay. I just don't, like, why do you need to make 5 Grown-Ups movies? Like, it's.
Because they make money, Greg.
Yeah, that's what people want. They make money.
That's why they make a million Smurfs movies. Those movies stink too, but they make a million because they make money.
But basically what they did with Happy Gilmore was, okay, let's get a bunch of cameos.
Yep.
And that's going to make the movie interesting. That doesn't do it for me. Like, especially when it's a sequel for a legendary film.
Adam Sandler movies.
And I also think that the cameos, like, were actually pretty good. Like, I thought Bad Bunny was tremendous. We were talking about it yesterday. Rory McIlroy played like a kind of a...
The only time I've ever liked Rory McIlroy.
A P, if you will. Yeah. Like, I thought Scottie Scheffler was funny. Jordan Spieth was funny.
Okay, like, you thought the whole Freddie Couples thing was good.
Yeah. Lee Trevino was great.
I thought, and I know this is going to be a shock to everybody, Travis Kelce, tremendous.
Okay. The Bad Bunny, Travis Kelce stuff was great.
It was hilarious.
Wedding Singer, great Sandler flick.
Yes. Yeah.
That come out in like 1989?
1998, yes. I think it was. Like, you know, but, and so he has to continue to do those movies, and everybody compares them to the movies that he did early on, and it's just, it's hard to be able to continue that.
Courtney, darling, it's your father here. I just want to say thank you so much for the recommendation on Swingers Jewelers. Me and your mother are going to head right there right after I finish this quiche. Goodbye, honey.
It's Springers.
And
they present the show every single day on Twitch, and they are in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Yep. So
you said that today.
Springers.
Springers.
Yesterday.
Courtney, you did an excellent job yesterday sitting in the one chair. You absolutely crushed it. Excellent job indeed, Courtney.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Good feedback. Nice.
She always does a good job.
Nice. Yeah.
She's a different person.
Totally.
No, yeah. Like the flubs, you know.
I didn't really flub today.
Yeah,
you've been good today.
We've got 20 minutes. Yeah. But.
And I told her, you're able to do that where you did trending, the news, and led the show in and out of commercial breaks and had an opinion in easy breezy, but when she gets there, she's like, it's something about you.
Yeah, it's she you... said I make her nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to impress you.
Yes.
Greg Hill, old head. What's all this business about scraping data? In my day, we didn't have data. We just stood around and looked at each other, and we were thankful, and then we danced the hully gully.
Yeah. I mean, it could be an old head take that I think it's wrong for the airlines to go in and read all your emails and figure out why you're flying somewhere and figure out how much you can afford to pay to fly there. Yeah, I do. And if that's if you're fine with just being charged because you have more money, then that's fine. You can accept it. I just don't think it's right.
I'm not worried about it then, because if that's how they scrape your data, I don't send emails anyway. So
yeah.
I guess I got nothing to worry about.
You don't read them either.
Right. Who?
I mean, read them.
Who's still sending emails? Like, unless you work
a real job. Ken is. I mean, Ken sends a lot of emails.
Yeah, but unless you work a real job.
Did you get the email about the meeting today?
That was a text message. So I get that.
Okay.
Shime, help me out here with a Trump drop. Since nobody rags on Greg, I will. I just got breaking news that it has been reported that he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes to the fridge.
28 times.
See, there you go. Now, I will say one thing that when it comes to the difference in generations, one thing that I saw over the weekend while I was gone is the new, and you guys are Gen Z adjacent, so it'll have to be real world, real life Tom who confirms it for me. But there's a new, very popular Gen Z trend, which involves not saying hello when answering the phone. Have you encountered that?
No. So they just answer?
What? Yeah.
What do you say then? You just
they
pick
don't
up
say
the
anything.
Phone?
They wait for you to speak.
Oh wow.
What?
And this is at work and on personal calls. They just don't.
How do you know that the other person's picked up the phone?
Well, you can hear it. You can hear it get picked up, and then they just don't say hello.
I'm just supposed to listen for your loud breathing.
That's a new trend.
It's not even a like, "What's up? What's going on?"
Nothing. Okay, no, they don't say anything.
It's a Seinfeld episode when Kramer didn't get the hello in the bank. He got a hey
until you speak. Yeah.
Greg, when I see you Friday morning at the Tipsy Seagull, I'm going to give you the biggest kiss on your forehead.
There you go.
Should be good.
Yeah.
We're going down there Thursday night. We got an NFL game to watch. So we got the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. We can watch that down there somewhere. And then Friday morning, a Flex Friday at the Tipsy Seagull in Fall River. So cannot wait to see you there.
Due to the nearly unanimous public outcry for the release of the Epstein files, I was finally granted an exclusive interview with the Trump administration. Here's what they had to say.
Hello and say, you'll never get this, you'll never get this, la 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 la, and then a wheel of laugh, high five.
That was good.
I went to Swingers Jewelers yesterday on Courtney's recommendation, and it was interesting to meet John Cox at the door dressed in his Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, God.
Terrible. Happy corrected birthday. Myself right away.
You did?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting Freudian slip there.
So weird.
That you said Swingers instead of Springers.
I was thinking about that place that we went for the Springfield show, Swingers.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Curtis, I love you, but there's just times that I don't know. I feel like you're just losing your mind. Like earlier when everyone was talking about the Happy Gilmore movie and Chime's like, well, Adam Sandler hasn't made a good movie in 20 years. And then you guys brought up a movie and you're like, oh, that was 15 years ago. You just said he hasn't made a good movie in 2 decades. And Chime's like, yeah, I never said it was 15 years. And it ended up being 21 years ago. But you acted like Chime said 15 years. And you're like, oh, no, you just said 2 decades. And 15 years is 2 decades. And Chime's like, I never said it was 15 years. And also, jalapeno poppers are amazing.
I think it was like 15 to 20 years ago. But the number one movie on Netflix? Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Number one movie on Netflix.
Well, that's because there's nothing else on.
So is Outer Banks.
Number one movie on Netflix by country?
Outer Banks is
Happy
great.
Gilmore, too.
Happy Gilmore.
Yep. Argentina, Australia.
Did you end up finishing The Hunting Wives?
Oh, did I ever?
Yeah. Right. It was pretty good.
Pretty good.
It was okay.
Is that the little freak show you watched?
It was freaky, yeah.
Yeah, it's freaky.
But it was good. I also, Auntie Kathy gave me a recommendation to watch Disclaimer. It's old, I guess. 2022 maybe came out. It's on Apple TV Plus. Pretty good. Sacha Baron Cohen. Cohen's in
we
it.
We talked about that on the show at the time that it was out.
Yeah. Is there another season, though?
I believe only one season.
Oh, okay. And then it got canceled?
I do not know. I'm 3 episodes in.
Can I ask a very quick question to everybody in the room?
Yes.
Have you ever sat down at a restaurant and had someone immediately order a jalapeno popper?
28 times.
They're good at the Hoots. Hoots got some good jalapeno poppers.
I love jalapeno poppers.
If you're sitting down and somebody orders a jalapeno popper instead of nachos or mozzarella sticks, you
it's
leave.
It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I don't
like the spicy stuff.
They're delicious.
Stuff,
so. Okay. I love jalapeno poppers just in general.
Point is made.
They make a jalapeno popper. Well, I can't really remember where it is, Shime. You might be with a little bit of honey.
Oh,
cream cheese or something in it.
I had looked.
Don't know where it is.
I had looked this up when the man called to try to find out what restaurant. And the main ones around us is. Well, I got to bring it up again. But there was like, oh man, now I've lost it.
TGI Fridays.
Was it called Swingers?
No. How did that go away?
Applebee's.
I like when people mix Chili's. It up though. Sometimes Wiggy. Sometimes they'll put cheddar cheese in there instead of cream cheese, which is nice.
Twist. I like the, but I do like the cream cheese. They did like a honey cream cheese one time. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
When you guys are in Fall River on Friday, and at the show's conclusion, you don't go up the street to Marzilli's Bakery and get an Italian grinder with the works and mixed peppers, you officially stink more than shine.
All right. Marzilli's.
Marzilli's.
Give it a try.
Italian grinder.
I feel like we talked about that last year.
Did we?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm. That'll do it today, Greg.
All right, Shine. Thank you. Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Jones and Keith from Gillette momentarily, day two of pads. And those guys will share with you everything that is going on. And you can talk Sox and all the rest of it with those guys. Before we go, though, a pair of tickets to give away for Nate Bargatze at the TD Garden on August 9th. Limited tickets still available. But if you are caller number 9 on the contest line right now, which is 617-931-0937, you will be there. And I would argue that Washington's dream, this is a bold statement, Curtis, but Washington's dream may be the greatest piece of comedy Saturday Night Live ever did in its entire 50-year history or whatever it is with Nate Bargatze.
I have to check that out.
You haven't seen? Oh, you've definitely seen it. You just might not remember what it is.
Okay.
Where he's George Washington with the fellas as they are getting ready to cross the Delaware or whatever, and he's talking about what the future of the country might be.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
this is right. I mean, that's right up your alley when it comes to comedy. Well, the history buff, and you love that.
Oh, it's he's funny.
Yeah.
It's very well done. It's a laugh a minute, Courtney. Oh. Just like Happy Gilmore, too.
I'm more of the Debbie Downer character as my favorite, but different strokes.
I hate people that make negative comments, so I'm a Nate Bargatze guy.
All right. Well, we are back at it tomorrow morning at 6. Nice to be back with you guys.
So nice to have you back.
Stay cool today, however you do that, and we will be back talking with you again tomorrow morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage. Now the time has come for leaving.